Well, what sin is David talking about? Sin is such an offense to God that God really delineates sin. In fact, the Old Testament has 15 different words that are translated in our Bibles as sin. God has a very big vocabulary of what offends Him, what is against His holiness, what is an offense to His righteousness and His justice. And so there are 15 different words. And when David's adultery stole his neighbor Uriah's little ewe lamb from the already overflowing banqueting table David had, that's the illustration Nathan uses when he pointed his finger at him, David had sinned. If you took all the Old Testament teaching about sin, it would basically come under three distinct areas. These 15 words, they line up in three columns if you do a kind of an analysis of what they're pointing at that offends God. And what's amazing is each of the three broad areas that God uses to describe sin, each of those descriptive words are used in this 51st Psalm. In other words, David exhausts the vocabulary of sin to say, I'm guilty of it all. Now, tonight, we're going to look at how David literally broke every one of the commandments. Every one of the 10. Plus, as James 2:10 says, if you break even the smallest, you're guilty of all. And we're going to see that this evening and how God dealt with it. But let me just show you verse 1 again, the other half of verse 1. Remember, we just looked at blot out, you know, erase the handwriting. Well, David says, I am guilty of resisting or defying your rule, O God, in my life. That's what it meant by transgressions. If you want to understand transgressions, the meaning of this word is the resisting or the defying of God ruling in my life. Now, this is what we were born with. This is why children go, no. And that's why they just pout and stomp when they don't get their way. Remember, Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone, what? To our own way. This idea of transgression that he said, blot out. He says, I want you to erase all of my guilt in resisting and defying you ruling my life. Now, think through that with me. God has put up certain boundaries in this life. God has certain laws. He has certain moral laws. He has certain spiritual laws. And anytime we attempt to step over them, ignore them, or break them, we suffer the consequences. Now, we're going to see that in the future. David truly is the most glaring picture of the consequence engine in work in his life. This one brief incident with Bathsheba spawned a decade plus of consequences for him. And that's because any sin of transgression, God says, always elicits a response from him of consequence. When we defy his rule, when we step over a fence, when we break down a barrier, God says there's a consequence to that. And we'll see that in the New Testament. The word the Holy Spirit guided David to use is a powerful picture of how God looked on David's sin. Transgression, Hebrew word pesha, means to go away, to depart, to pass over a boundary, or to do what is prohibited, or to rebel against an authority. Such a picture of how our actions are directly an affront against the Lord Himself. Pesha means I directly go against something God has set up. Something God has instituted. I go against it. And that's what a pesha, a transgression is. This is why David starts by saying, it's against you and you alone, I have sinned. We must come to the place where we see that sin is not just a little failure, just a little weakness. That's this level. We have to raise our sights up and see who it is that we just directly affronted. And that's what David does. Each day in our lives, we transgress against the Lord when we step over a boundary that God established, or when we defy God by crossing over the line He drew. With David, we need to say to God, I have gone over the line. You had a fence up. I climbed right over it. And that's the first word he uses. That's the first realm that he discovered about his relationship with God that had been broken was, he said, God, I crossed the line. I climbed over the fence. You put up fences, but I didn't want your fence. I wanted to keep going my way, and I climbed right over it, knowingly. And he said, I have transgressed. All of our transgressions need to be removed. And remember, when we talk about eternal spiritual things, only God can remove those. No psychological or psychiatric or medical person can remove a spiritual impediment. At no change, when we lived in California, Bonnie and I used to comment that one thing that you didn't do out there is ask people too closely why they moved to California. 20 years ago, in the 80s, most people were moving to California to kind of get a new start. And if you probed around too much, you'd find that there's some disaster in their past. And they just thought by physically coming to the land of the sun and fun, they would forget and start over. And you know what so many of them found? Their problems came right with them because they were inside and they were spiritual. And only God can deal with spiritual problems and sin. All of our transgressions have to be removed, and only God can do that. God pulls them off of us. We who lie beneath the load of sin that crushes us. In the confrontation in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, when Nathan pointed his finger right at David and he said, you're the one. And he says, you have done this sin, it's you. When Nathan did that, he used the word that David would not die, but his sins would be forgiven. Now, what David needed was this forgiveness. Now, he is calling it blotting out and washing and cleansing. But the big word in the New Testament that we like to hold on to that kind of encompasses all three of those pictures that David used is the word forgiveness. And forgiveness is when God takes away, he lifts off, he carries away our sin. By wiping it off the record, by beating it out of the fabric of our life through the sacrifice of Christ, by renewing our past that we have abrogated by a fellowship with Him by our sins. But that all happens only by one means. And that's why David harkens back to the sacrificial system. Because there had to be a vicarious, you know what vicarious means? A substitutionary payment. Some substitute had to pay the penalty that David had incurred, the debt that David had racked up, the offense that David had made. Someone had to absorb or take that. And so forgiveness is when God lifts up, just removes the sin off of us. But He doesn't just wad it up and throw it somewhere. He takes it and has placed it on Jesus Christ. And that's what David was asking for. Only in God's holy justice can Christ's vicarious or substitutionary sacrifice take away sin. All of us are being crushed by any transgressions we keep around. Sometime, if you want to look up Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel compares our sins to an avalanche. I always see in picture. When I read Ezekiel 33 and verse 10, it says, their sins have just come upon us. It's kind of like being at the foot of the Alps and an avalanche comes crashing down. That's what life is like. We all are just running along and going through life going our own way, and our sins are just flying around us, and pretty soon they just avalanche us, and we're underneath them. And so as we're crushed by the avalanche, it smothers us and suffocates us and squishes the very life out of our soul. But David turned and he looked up. Remember, that's how he was in those months that he hid his sin and thought he was getting away with it. He was gradually under the avalanche of his sin, getting suffocated and smothered. And in that moment when he finally came to just cry out to the Lord and ask for His cleansing and said, I'm guilty. I'm not going to hide anymore. And I ask for Your cleansing. At that moment, he was asking for a Redeemer who would take his place. That's what these words speak of. They speak of sacrifice. They speak of atonement. They speak of substitution. He said, Redeemer, set me free. And to his only hope, David fled. And God cleansed David's sins that were smothering him. And he was forgiven. Now, look back for just a moment at the parallel passage, Psalm 32. You're in Psalm 51. Back up to 32. Because in Psalm 32, this is David's joyful song. The mechanics of how it happened is in 51. But the praise song of what happened is in Psalm 32. Now, Psalm 38 is also about this, but these two are most clearly linked, 32 and 51. And in Psalm 32, look how this psalm starts out. As he says, O the blessedness of he whose transgression, there's that transgression, is forgiven, whose sin is covered. When David turned to God, his only hope, when he fled to God, God cleansed David's sin that was smothering him and forgave him. And that becomes the theme of his song in Psalm 32. David couldn't help but break into song when he knew the powerful redemptive work of God, his Savior. God lifted off of him the load of his sin. And when God lifted that off of him, he couldn't stop singing for joy. David was so aware that the forgiveness of his sins meant that they were no longer smothering him, separating him, staining him, that he just broke into song. And he wrote it down in Psalm 32, and we studied that weeks back, the depth of that wonderful psalm. Well, I wonder this morning, have you ever felt buried by your sin? You ever felt smothered? You ever felt the avalanche come over you? Have you just felt like you just can't hardly even breathe because you're just so aware of your separation from God and of your stain? That's how, when we come to that point, that's how we experience the wonder of the God of our salvation. When we cry out to Him and when we say, I'm guilty and you're holy and I've sinned, help me now and save me from my life stained by my sins, we find every time we cry, He responds and we are cleansed. It's a wonderful awareness to know that this very moment, all of our sins have been lifted off of us by the one who took our place on the cross, the one who died the death that we deserved, the one who was not guilty but bore each and every one of our sins and bore them not just temporarily but forever away. That's what David experienced. But when David experienced that, the Spirit of God welled up in his heart, and all he could do is respond by saying, oh, what a blessed Redeemer. You have forgiven me.